And I want to just share another couple of little quotes with you, if you will indulge me just that little bit more. So this is a quote from a talk by Sangha Rakshita, which he gave in 1983. So it's a talk that I revisited last year because of the Trident debate, because the whole debate about why the Trident should be renewed or not. I said, so I must go back and read what Banti said in that talk he gave in 1983, which was called Buddhism, World Peace and Nuclear War. Or maybe it's the other way around, I never quite remember. Maybe it was Buddhism, Nuclear War and World Peace. But anyway, it was World Peace and Nuclear War, wasn't it? And I remember him giving this talk. He gave it a couple of times, actually. He gave it in a few different locations. To the best of my knowledge, the first one was in the Croydon Centre in South London. And it was the opening of a series of talks on non-violence. It was the opening of the Croydon Centre. They were opening this new centre that they had there in South London, and they decided that a good opening season would be to have a series of talks on non-violence as the basic Buddhist principle. So they invited Banti Sangha Rakshita to come and give the opening talk, and this was the talk that he gave. He gave it again at least twice. I can remember him giving it again, a talk that was very similar. Anyway, off I went to hear it, and I remember at the time I was in a bit of a bad mood with Banti for something or another, which I don't totally remember, but he'd said something I didn't like and I was in a bit of a bad mood with him. And I kind of, anyway, I went off from the LBC, East London, where I was living, and we went in an old Ford tranny, sitting in the back of this old Ford tranny, all the way down to Croydon, thinking, could have been doing something nice. Anyway, I did also want to go and hear it, but I don't think I was terribly receptive as I arrived. And this talk blew me away, and it made me think, yes, this is really my teacher. This is my teacher. However much I might sometimes get in a huff about things that I don't like, at heart, this is my teacher. And this is I'd like to just read you a quote. It's a couple of quotes. It's a little bit long, so I'll pin it up later and you can read it. He says, peace has become a seamless garment, and the world has either to wear the whole garment or go naked to destruction. There can no longer be any question of a scrap of peace covering one part of the world's nakedness and not another. This makes it impossible for us to think in merely geopolitical terms. We have also to think in geoethical, geo-humanitarian, or geo-philanthropic terms. Since peace is indivisible, so that the stark choice before us is either world peace or no peace, one world or no world, we shall be able to achieve peace only if we realise that humanity too is indivisible, and if we consistently act on that realisation. In other words, we shall be able to achieve peace only by regarding ourselves as citizens of the world and learning to think not in terms of what is good for this or that nation state, this or that political system, this or that ideology, but simply and solely in terms of what is good for the world, for humanity as a whole. So I was pretty knocked out by that. But then there was more. Later on in the talk, coming close to the end of the talk, he says, in order to achieve peace, world peace in this fuller sense, we shall have to deepen our realisation of the indivisibility of humanity. We shall have to identify ourselves more closely with all living things, and love them with a more ardent and selfless love. We shall have to be a louder and clearer voice of sanity and compassion in the world. Above all, we shall have to intensify our commitment to the great ethical and spiritual principle of non-violence, both in respect to relations between individuals and in respect to relations between groups. So I felt I'd been given my mission statement, really. So from that point, 1983, I just felt, in a way, that is so much what I meant to dedicate my life to. And I kind of almost don't really mind what that means, in a certain sense. There are things I enjoy and things I maybe don't enjoy so much, but I don't really mind if I feel that what I'm doing is in the service of that principle of the indivisibility of humanity. I really do believe that we can, by working together, achieve quite a lot. And that's why, I suppose, we come together in these kind of workshops and we explore things and we move into the phase that we're moving into now in the spiral of the work, where we honour our pain, we honour our sense of the suffering of the world, and we honour our sense of what's not right and what we're not happy with in the world. In a sense, we're moving into the phase of dukkha. And dukkha is always present, but we're moving into a phase where that is what we're maybe going to share with each other, our experiences of. And I think it's very important to know that we don't do that just to stick our finger in the wound or just to wallow in it in some kind of way, but actually in the service of the indivisibility of humanity, to learn through solidarity, to learn through hearing and witnessing and testifying, to just really learn what we do feel about the state of the world and what we feel we can offer to that world. So I really wanted us to have that in mind as we move into this next phase of the world, the work. And I started with a little quote from the Bodhicharya Avatara. I'd like to end with the Bodhicharya Avatara. So that was Shantideva, who said, "The power of evil is great and strong, and the power of good is often weak. If it were not for the awakening heart-mind, how could evil ever be overcome?" So he also says later on in the same work, interestingly he says this in the meditation section of the work, he says, "Just as the hands and other limbs should be protected as a single entity, so too should this entire world, which is divided but undivided in its nature to suffer and be happy. Just as the body with its many parts, divided into, does not cause distress in the bodies of others, I should nevertheless find their suffering intolerable because of the affection I have for myself. I should dispel the suffering of others because it is suffering like my own suffering. At the end of the day, it just doesn't really matter whose suffering it is. I should help others because of their nature as beings, which is like my own being." And he says, "When fear and suffering is disliked by me and others equally, what is so special about me that I protect myself and not the other? When happiness is liked by me and others equally, what is so special about me that I strive after happiness only for me?" So that is his sense of awakening. So Shantideva too had an awakening to realising that his heartbeat was the heartbeat of the universe. We don't need to protect and defend. We can open and enter in contact with that heartbeat and just give whatever support, care, love and solidarity we can. Thank you.